I have an article to read to you this evening by Swami Ramdas entitled Glory of the Divine Name. It's a little bit on the lengthy side, but I would like you to listen to every word of it. Keep it in your consciousness. Practice what it says. We are preparing ourselves for the sacred initiation of Kriya. I imagine that the out-of-town folks will be in on June 17th. We will meet at the Church of Religious Science at 1:30 on June 18th. Our Kriya initiation will be at that same church on Saturday evening the 24th. And then again, we will have church service at that church on the 25th, because with all of the people coming in from out of town, this is in June, incidentally, there will not be room for everyone here. Now, this is a time of preparation, a time when we lay some solid foundations, when we face ourselves squarely and make a decision that either we're going to belong to God totally, absolutely, or to the world. You cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve God and mammon too. And anyone who tries to do so is a house divided against himself. You do not realize, you have no way of realizing the glory that can be yours if you make a decision in favor of God. Now, everything in this world is of God, because He created everything, and nothing was created except by Him. Still, as His one power manifests, it goes out from Himself, sustains itself, and returns to Himself. And therefore, it seems to oppose itself. So we are constantly battling between these forces of the positive and the negative. It is most important that you dedicate your lives to God, because you were put here but for one purpose, and that is to find your oneness with Him. Because without Him, what could you do? You could not think. You certainly could not move. You could not breathe. You could not have your being. Everything that you are, everything that you take credit for to yourself, is of God. Of ourselves, we are nothing, and we have nothing. But when we are one with Him, we have all things, and we are all things. Just look at the vast difference between these two trains of thought. It should not be hard for us to make a decision in favor of God. The Guru and the name which the Guru gave were the two great saviors that liberated Ram Dass from the bondage of ignorance and granted him perfect bliss and peace. He who has always God's name on his lips is a blessed soul. God's name is sweeter than nectar. If you keep it in your tongue always, you will be drinking the sweetness of it, and that sweetness will enter into every part of your being and make you intoxicated with the divine emotions of peace and bliss. Ram Dass can tell you from his personal experience that, so far as he was concerned, he found that there was no easier, greater, surer, and more efficacious sadhana for attaining God than the repetition or chanting of his glorious name. This is definite. It is not his experience alone, but the experience of many of the sages and saints of India and of the world. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna has said that of all the yamas, he is the japayama, which is therefore the highest. In this Kali Yuga age of darkness, there is no other way for salvation than the repetition of Hari's name, which is Krishna's name. That is the only savior, and he who takes the name is sure of salvation. Not at a distant date or in another birth, but in this birth and at this very moment. It is said that the divine name is not tasting sweet to so many. When Ram Dass was drinking the sweetness of the name, friends used to come to him. Ram Dass glorified the name before them, telling them that the name was very, very sweet. But the friend said, the sweetness may be for you, but not for us. We repeat the same name, but do not derive as much peace and happiness as you. What is the reason? How can we find the taste for ourselves also? What is the defect in us? What is the remedy? Romulus had to answer them in the words of a great saint who has composed a song on the subject. The purport of the song is, the moment your head touches the dust of a saint's feet, all your desires for the objects of the senses will disappear. And then only when you repeat God's name, it will taste sweet to you. And as you go on repeating the name, the joy proceeding from it goes on increasing until it fills you through and through, and you see God in your heart. Your eyes shed tears of joy, and your heart wells up with love for all beings. This is the process by which we can really taste the sweetness of the name of God and realize God within our own hearts. You know that when a man is stricken with a certain kind of fever, if you give him sugar, he finds it bitter and throws it away. But when he is free from fever, the same sugar tastes sweet. So too, we have a disease in the mind that is called vasana, clinging to the objects of the senses, desires for the pancha vishasha, the five kinds of objects which the senses crave for. These must go. So long as these sense desires are deep-rooted in our mind, the name does not taste sweet. Therefore, what we have to do is, at the very first time when our mind seeks to find God, or is in search of God, we must contact a saint, touch his feet, and accept him as our spiritual guide, and then receive the name from him. Thereafter, you will see the marvelous effect the repetition produces in you. Your whole being will be flooded with bliss and peace. Your heart will be filled with love for all beings in the world. Your eyes will see God everywhere. Your name will free you from bondage, will give you peace and harmony in the place of discord and disharmony. It will grant you light and dispel darkness. It will grant you immortality by conquest over death. Such is the glory of the divine name. You know we are seized by 10 evils. As Lord Buddha says, they are 3 of the mind, 4 of the tongue, and 3 of the body. Unless these 10 evils are eradicated, we cannot be absolutely pure. And unless we are absolutely pure, we cannot see God. We cannot have his vision and his realization. The 3 evils of the mind are envy, hatred, and skepticism. 4 of the tongue are slandering, abusing, gossiping, and lying. 3 evils of the body are stealing, killing, and adultery. These are the 10 evils of thought, word, and deed. In order to free ourselves from them, what are we to do? We can take these 10 evils to be the 10 heads of the Ravana, who is within us, who is the abhiman, or ego sense. Who killed this 10-headed monster? You know very well that Brahma did it. So in order to destroy these 10 evils in us, the 10-headed demon, Ram Nam, is the way. He who repeats Ram Nam constantly, you may depend upon it, would not have to destroy these evils one by one. His name lays the axe at the very root of all of the evils and makes us absolutely pure. It frees us from every evil until our ego sense also vanishes. Then we realize God within us, God without us, and God everywhere about us. The whole universe will thereafter stand transformed before us as the very image of God. To this height of realization, the divine name takes us. If we repeat the name after having contacted a saint and touched the dust of his feet, then it is we shall see what glorious power this name has, what a great influence it wields on us for our uplift, for the ultimate realization of our real self, which is the same as God. So, name is the precious jewel which we should not lose when we have once gained it. If we take to it, we must do so with all our heart, with all our love and faith in its power. Sages and saints are never tired of singing the glories of the name. you may find this out for yourself. Sit still and sing the name and get your mind inebriated with its sweetness. You will find your whole body is permeated with a strange ecstasy in which you will find your ego sense or low desires disappear completely and you are thoroughly purified. If you continue doing this practice, you will be established in that state. You will become the very image of God. No other sadhana can take you to this spiritual height. Other sadhanas may raise you to self-realization, but they cannot infuse into you that joy of the self permeating your entire being, entering not only your mind and intellect, but also in all your emotions, senses, and body. Nay, every atom of your physical frame will be thrilling with joy. That is why the saints approach God by taking His name, His sweet and glorious name, constantly. If you have it on your tongue continuously, you will be enjoying the sweetness of the name without break, just as you get sweetness continuously when you keep a nectarine pill on your tongue. Such is the sweetness of the name. Saints and devotees go to the length of saying, O God, I do not even want you, but I want your name. I am perfectly satisfied with the sweetness of your name. The name is so blissful that they do not want even the vision of God, but they are happy in having the name. They say, from life to life, I wish to be born in order to repeat your name. Moksha is not a thing to be attained. Moksha is liberation. It is there already within us, but the sweetness of communion with God through the repetition of His name is a rare acquisition. As Atman, we are always free. We were never born, and we never die. And there is no such thing as liberating the Atman. The soul is ever free. Only we have to know and realize this. When you realize it, it is done. The sweetness you get from the name is a different thing. By the mere knowledge of the self, you are not so happy as when you repeat the name of God, that supreme reality within you. The name brings out the divine sweetness to the surface, onto the plane of the body, the senses and the mind, and sweetens onto the plane of the body, the senses and the mind, and sweetens your entire life. That is why the name has been held as the highest thing in the world. Ramdas' one task, wherever he went, was to glorify the name and tell everybody to take the name. The name of two syllables, Rama, Krishna, Shiva, or any name one liked. See the power it wields on you, how it elevates you, illumines you, and fills you with divine peace and joy. It is not enough to praise the name by singing songs about the name. You must act according to the teachings of the great saints who have told us that it is not enough if we simply sing the glories of the name. We should attempt to keep the name constantly on our lips, while walking, sitting, doing any physical work. Gradually you will find the name takes possession of you. It is not that we take possession of the name, but the name takes possession of us. Then you will see how your mind refuses to wander here and there. It gets absorbed in the name and derives immense peace and joy. Contact of the name is contact of God, because name and God are not different. Name is God, and God is name. You will know it when you are repeating it, because the name gives you unending peace and joy, immortal peace and bliss. This is the power of the name. So you will never give it up once you take it up. The mind will then never run after the illusory pleasures of the senses, like a thirsty person running to drink water from the mirage. We are after the objects of the senses for pleasure. You will find by experience that there is no real joy in them. Real peace and bliss is within us, and we can have direct experience of this. The name makes God manifest in all our activities. Ramdas has met thousands of friends and talked to them about jnana, bhakti, universal love and service, unity of all religions, etc. But his prime object, the burden of his song is at work, was to spread the message of the name everywhere. That is his favorite subject, the glory of the name that was given to him by his compassionate and all-merciful guru. That is a tremendous article. Thank you. know, I have at times known people who have not been interested in chanting the name of God. Each one's path is different according to his own nature. There is no question of a doubt about that. But to sing to God, to chant from your very soul, from your very heart, just praising Him, worshiping Him, adoring Him, to me is a tremendous experience. I love to do it. I love to hear others do it. And if you can tune in with the vibration that the name brings forth within your heart, within your consciousness, within your soul, your whole being is filled with the infinite bliss and peace of God's presence. Try it and see whether or not what I say, what the saints have all said, is not true. I'm going to read to you tonight an oft-read chapter. Chapter 1 of St. John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I want to talk to you tonight about the melody of God. There's a music without strings. And yet, when you sing the name of God, it binds you with a chord that is the strongest chord that you could possibly imagine in this world. And it's a chord which cannot be broken. It has no knots in it. It seems to have no beginning and no end. But it originates within the Spirit of God, and as He sends forth His own Spirit. And He enters this garment of flesh which each of us wears. That name is the light. It is the sound which keeps us moving and living in this body which He has given to us, which is the temple not made by hands. When you stop to think about it, it's a strange thing to think that sound, a word, rather, can produce light. You think of it certainly as being able to produce sound, but not necessarily light. And yet, we have this electrical substance in the universe that is brought forth by the same Word of God. When you close the outer ear. In other words, when you go deep within your own consciousness and you lose track of all of the things of the senses, when your concentration is so great that you are totally involved with listening to this name of God that sings itself constantly within your own being, you go beyond time, space, the word, the atom, every known human experience, and you find yourself one with God, one with His light, one with His sound, one with His glory, and you are filled with the bliss of His presence. These are not just words. Saints and sages have been speaking of this mystical experience down through the ages, and surely not all of them could say these things unless they had actually experienced them. If you will read the stories of the lives of the great saints of the world, you will find that each and every one of them had this sort of an experience. The word is called by many names in accordance with the particular language, the particular religion. In India, it is called Ram Nam. It is also called Om, which is the basis of all sound, A-U-M, and it is pronounced as though it were spelled O-M. That word, because of the fact that the world has been getting smaller all the time, has become a household word practically all over America today, where once it was totally unknown. Even 50 years ago, this is so. I think that Master was one of the first to introduce it to this country. But today, this word is indeed known, and there are many who are chanting Ram Nam all over America. And it is a beautiful thing to listen to. Then we have Confucius, the Confucians, who call the word Tao, spelled T-A-O. And then I think I wrote down a few of these things. The Sikhs call it Shabda, S-H-A-B-D. The Hindus also call it Nadi Asmani, heavenly harmony. And that is also Islamic. In the Christian, we call it the Holy Spirit, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. The Greeks call it the Logos. And the Zoroastrians call it Sarosha. This name sustains all of the worlds, all of the universes, in this whole galaxy and beyond. There is nothing but the name. Do you realize that every object which you see, every form which you see, is a product of the name, because the name and God are not different? So it is easy to understand why some of the saints use only the name. They repeat it constantly in order to realize their oneness with God. I'm sure that many of you have read In Quest of God and In the Vision of God by Swami Ramdas. You have read how God took him up. His father became his guru, and he gave him the mantra, Sri Ram, Jai Ram, Jai Jai, Ram, Om, or no, without the Om. And he himself added this powerful word of Om. So it's Om Sri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram, which means victory to God through the name of God. You can go all over India today, and in many, many places you hear people chanting the name of God, this Ram Nam mantra, in the marketplace. People behind stalls selling their wares. When there isn't a customer present, they stand there and they sing to God. You go along the village streets or along the country roads, and emanating from all of the houses there, you hear the sweet name of God being chanted. You do not hear, as we hear in this place, in America, all of these rock tunes. Now, in some of the largest cities, because we insist on westernizing the whole world, you find a lot of this. The dresses are changing. The type of garments worn by all are changing. They're becoming westernized. The people are taking up many of our speech habits, our everyday habits, some of them not the best in the world. And from a gracious, spiritual country with the mind almost totally on God by the majority of the people, today we have a very, very different situation. It is too bad that this is happening, because we love to travel, and pretty soon there won't be anything new to see. It is a very fascinating and interesting thing to go to foreign countries and see the culture, the dress, the workings of that particular nation, the habits of that nation, the food that is different, and not try to just be Americans and Americanize everything, every place we go, because that is the charm of it. It is enchanting, and I love it. I love to see God in all of his different garments, I love to see him in all of his different colored skins that he wears. I like to hear the various tunes of music that come from the various cultures, to see the variations in the dancing, and how each one tries to express, either in the human and the divine, that which is a part of the heart of his own culture, his own nation, and his own being. When you travel around the world, you cannot doubt that every single one you see is a child of God. And to say that some are children of God, but others are not, because their religious belief goes by a different name, is to but show our stupidity and our ignorance, because there is only one Father God, one Creator, one Christ who is universal. He is that Word which emanated from God and which took on the flesh in the form of every man and dwells in the midst of each and every one of us. And when we come to realize that every great scripture in the world says that same thing exactly in their own language, then we begin to understand the universality of God and the universality of his only begotten Son by whatever name we want to call him, whether it be Krishna, whether it be Christ, whether it be Muhammad, whether it be Buddha, whether it be Confucius, whether it be whatever, God is there. And that only begotten Son is that Holy Spirit, that holy name, that Holy Ghost, which comes from God himself. That is his first and only begotten Son, which takes on a garment of flesh and is among us. He is our mind, he is our heart, he is our soul. And when the name departs from us, this form, which we give so much credence to, so much importance to, no longer exists at all. It is the truth that there is no such thing as death. Because the Spirit is infinite, it is eternal, and it continually takes on new garments through which to express itself. All of nature is formed in the same way, with its seasons, with its barrenness at times during certain seasons, with its cloak of leaves during other seasons, its blossoms, its fruit, its harvest, and then how the fruit, whatever it is, again falls to the ground, it disintegrates, and the seeds take root, and another harvest comes up. And this is the way all of nature is. What makes us think that man could be different? Why would God make all of his creation one way and then single out man to make difference? True, we alone have the consciousness to seek our oneness with God. We alone have the intelligence to go within ourselves and find out who and what we are. But God is present in every single creature that exists on this earth, equally present. Each one comes with his own state of consciousness. This is due to his past karma, his past incarnations, because nobody can go through this one slot of life and make it all the way to God. It is literally impossible. We have but to look around us and to see the state of consciousness of the various ones that we come in contact with every day, to realize that certainly they're not all on the same level, that there are many who are still on the bottom rungs of the ladder, and they have a long way to climb. And then every now and then, we lift our eyes, and we see some rare soul, someone who is so filled with the life and the love and the consciousness of God that you automatically want to reach out and touch them. You're drawn to them. They have a magnetism about them that draws you, just like any magnet would draw a piece of steel. And you cannot stay away from them. Why? Because they have that something special, which is the realization of their oneness with God within them. And not only the oneness of God within them, but of their oneness, their comradeship, their brotherhood with all men everywhere. There is no place that you can look where you do not see God. You cannot go from here to there thinking that God isn't here where you are. But that if you go to the forest, or to a cave, or to the Himalayas, or to any mountaintop, or bathe yourself in a stream that God is going to be there, that you're going to find him there. You cannot separate God from himself, because he is equally present everywhere. There is no place where his consciousness, his power, his will, his energy do not pour forth. But the amazing thing is that it is said in all of the scriptures of the world that he made man after his image and likeness. Man is God in human form. And he has given us the power to discover the tremendous potential that we have within us. But we can never do that just in the human sense. It is true. You can go to any technical school, any school or college, and you can learn a great deal about any given subject, but not all about it. No one has all the answers. Only God has them all. But to go to school and learn the things that will educate your mind is one thing. But the school of life is what educates you in the things of the Spirit. And we use, so many of us, the trial and error method. To be made in the image and likeness of God means to be made in his form and to be like him, like he is, inside of ourselves. But how many of us realize that? How many of us make the effort to go within, to spend a little time every morning and every night communing with God, praising him, blessing him, thanking him for his constant outpouring of blessings to us? How many? Everything else comes first, not God. And he alone exists. Yet we think we are so important. We think that we are doing everything there is, that we have everything. And yet nothing belongs to us, and in truth, we do nothing. As the Christ is made to say in the scriptures, I of myself am nothing. It is my Father who doeth the works. And yet we praise the Christ constantly. We make God of him, and we forget God the Father. And yet, as he himself said, he is nothing. Also he said, he who has seen me has seen the Father. And that is true of each and every one of us. Whoever has seen any one of us has seen the Father, manifesting himself in human form. And the Christ said, he did not say, I am the only one who can do this. He merely said, yes, you've said, I am the Christ. But so are we all, only we have not realized it. And he said, all of these works that I do, ye may do also. And even greater works than these that I do, ye may do. So we are unlimited. But it's a strange thing that people of certain denominations will lay their hands on people, and they, of their own free will, decide that they're going to heal them, that they're going to drive demons and spirits from them. And yet, they glorify all of this work that they do. This is wonderful. But let somebody outside of their own faith be known to do something like that, and immediately, they are tools of Satan. Angels of Satan, Antichrist. It's ridiculous. How do they know? Some of them haven't even met the people involved. They do not know what they teach. They do not know what they are. And they call this Christianity. They call this following the Christ, and everybody else is wrong. Believe me, they haven't begun to know the beginning of the meaning of the word Christian, or Christian as I like to call it. Because there are Christians and there are Christians. And a Christian is a true follower of Christ. One who is willing to pick up his cross, which is to say his body, which is in the form of a cross, and follow the Christ way in order that he might be his disciple. And to do that means to emulate him in every detail, even to giving your life on your own cross. And that life that you give is your idea of separation from him, the human consciousness, the Son of Man, and you give that freely. You wish to transform it. You wish to do away with it in order that you may be filled with the power of the Holy Ghost, that you might become the Christed One, the divine ego, the Son of God, To all who received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. Why, when it says that in the scriptures, are we continually told that there was only one man, Jesus the Christ? They contradict themselves in the scripture. Think about it. Read it. Verify it for yourself. Prove it to yourself. That Christ is in you. He is in me. He is in every man that walks this earth. There is only one church, one temple, and that is your body temple. The rest are outer forms of this sacred temple of God. The attention, the meditation should be upon him alone. And one way of doing that is to repeat his name. I remember one story that Swami Ramdas told one time, that he was up in the wilderness and he was sitting on a stump. And all of a sudden, it seemed that bedbugs were biting. Perhaps somebody had been there before whose clothes had been infested with them. And so he would reach down with his fingernail and kill them. Well, there was another spiritual aspirant there who thought this was a terrible thing for a man who was following the spiritual path to kill any living thing. So he remonstrated with Swami Ramdas and told him he thought that was committing murder. Ramdas said, "Not at all." He said, "I am here but for one purpose, and that is to realize my oneness with my Father. If anything stands in my way, just as the Christian scriptures say, if thy eye offend thee, pluck it out. If thy hand offend thee, cut it off. Just so, if the bedbugs bite me, I get rid of them." You know, he had a great sense of humor. He had absolutely no fear. He went without food, without drink for days upon days. He wandered the face of India with his bare feet, walking over stones and sticks and rough roads and all the rest until his poor feet were a mass of bleeding pulp sometimes. But always God took him up and took care of him and bound his feet, washed them, healed them, fed him, did everything. Why? Because he had faith in one power alone. And that faith was in the power of God to supply him with every need, to take care of his body, to lead him where God wanted him to go. Never mind what he thought he ought to do. He didn't have any thoughts along those subjects except, "Lord, Lord, you know, do whatever." I told you the story about the disciple who says to Papa once, "Papa, you're always saying that Ram speaks to you and tells you to do this and to do that. Sometime when he speaks to you, tells you to do something, and can I be present and go along and watch?" "Oh, yes," said Ram does. So one day, the same white man was standing alongside of him, and Papa said, "Ram tells him that he must walk across this field." So the man started along with him. This was a great adventure, great experience. He was walking across the field with Ramdas, who had been told by Ram to do this. He got halfway across, and he turned around and started walking back. The man was utterly amazed, and he said, "Well, Papa, I thought that Ram had told you to walk across the field." And Ramdas said, "Yes, so he did. But when Ramdas got halfway across, Ram told him to turn around and come back, so he did." So this is the way we must do that. With the slightest change in direction, we must be so tuned into God that we are able to turn in our footsteps and retrace them, or to do anything else that God asks you. If you are truly listening inside of yourself every moment, and don't tell me that it can't be done while you're doing your job, because I have done it and I do it and it can't be done. Because my mind is always on God, no matter who I'm talking to, no matter what I'm doing, because everything in this world that I am doing for God, in the consciousness of Him. And when you will tune in and listen to that voice of direction every moment of your life, you will find that God will walk before you and light your way. He will make your path easy. He will lift you up, and He will take you over the rough spots. Occasionally, He will let you get bumped up against something rough a little bit to teach you a lesson. Because it also says in the scriptures, you know, that you shouldn't get too elevated. I've forgotten just how it is expressed. But once in a while, you have to have a thorn in your side to keep your feet on the ground. Because believe me, when you really attain the consciousness of your oneness with God. When you go upstairs, when your whole being is so filled with this ecstasy and this bliss, you're not conscious of very much around you, I can tell you. And you need a thorn once in a while to bring you downstairs and make you know that you're still in a human body walking on this earth. But all is God. Remember that. All is God. The name is so powerful that you cannot possibly believe it. One time there was a crew of men building a tall wall. A saint was walking along the road, and just as he got in front of the wall crumbled, and many of the workmen were killed, and so also was the saint. Well, there was a great hue and cry about the whole thing. People were mourning over the loss of their loved ones, and particularly the devotees of the saint who came to hear of this and came to somehow discover his body. Well, they couldn't discover anything because everything had been pretty well put together and smashed up. And they saw all of these bones, all one intermingled with the other. And they thought, how in the world are we going to find the bones of our particular master? So another saint who was the saint of the temple there came along and he said, I can discover your saint's bones for you. So he picked up each one of the bones separately and listened with his ear. And in every one of the saint's bones, he could hear the name of the Lord being repeated. The name had so penetrated the consciousness of this saint that it had even penetrated to the very marrow of every one of his bones. This is not told about just in India. It is told about the Russian saint, the Way of the Pilgrim, and how he took the name of the Lord, Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on my soul, and attained a tremendous state of bliss. And there's not only bliss, you see, but there's enlightenment. And enlightenment brings constant, instant, continuous knowledge. It's just like a flow constantly going through the mind of the one who has attained this state. And they are never without God within them. He is the sole dweller in their temple. And they are but the witness of everything that the Lord does through them and for them. This is one specific, definite, easy, and wonderful method to go to God. And I would like each and every one of you to occasionally at least practice this and find out for yourself. And that is the proof of the pudding is in the eating, you see. So if you will do this, then certainly you can prove for yourself that what I say is true. When I was in India, every single time I have been there, as a matter of fact, I have seen the faces of the people who have constantly chanted the name of God. And the light that is in their faces is beautiful to see. I remember one time there was a man who was a very beautiful and wonderful soul by the name of Balasubramanian. Some of these Indian names are really something. And how I can remember it is a living miracle. Anyway, such was his name. He developed a boil on his tongue. Everybody wanted him to go to the doctor immediately because the tongue is a very tender object and it's pretty bad to have a boil on it. But in no way would he do that. He said the name was going to cure him. So he spoke to Papa Swami Ramdas about it and he told him he was going to continue to take the name. And he did. He continued with the name constantly upon his lips and in 3 days the boil was totally gone. He came out and showed me his tongue. There wasn't even a scar on it. So I know that this power exists. I have used it myself. I offer it to you. I give it to you in this way. As Ramdas says, the Guru should give it to the disciples. He initiates each and every one. The only Harijan boy who was ever given initiation by Papa at the ashram was given this initiation through my intercession. But this boy, whose name was Kanyambu, was the sweetest boy, always laughing, always with a smile on his lip. And he had such adoration for God in Ramdas's form. And so I said to him one day, why do you not take initiation from Papa? Oh, he said, I am a heretic, an outcast. And I said, I will arrange it for you. So I went to Papa and I said, Papa, do you refuse the heritage? No, he said, they are welcome to come anytime, but they don't come. I said, well, Kunyambu, your very good servant, adores you. He would love to be initiated by you. Will you do that for him? Yes, have him come and see me. And so of all of them at the ashram, he alone got that. And I saw him the second time I was there, and this last time he was my room boy. And the light in his boy's face is just absolutely beautiful. He is so sweet, so dear, so filled with service, and so filled with the light of God given to him through using the name of God. That really is a joy to look upon. Use it. Become one with it. God and name are not different. And you will go all the way to him. Oh, Heavenly Father.
Oh, Heavenly Father.
Divine Mother.
Divine Mother.
I feel the wonder and the beauty.
I feel the wonder and the beauty.
Of thy glorious presence.
Of thy glorious presence.
In every part of my being.
In every part of my being.
My heart is bursting with my love for thee.
My heart is bursting with my love for thee.
I kneel in adoration at thy feet.
I kneel in adoration at thy feet.
And surrender myself to thee.
And surrender myself to thee.
I feel the power of thy perfection.
I feel the power of thy perfection.
Surging in every cell of my body.
Surging in every cell of my body.
My mind and my intelligence.
My mind and my intelligence.
Are radiant with thy healing light.
Are radiant with thy healing light.
My soul is filled with the ecstasy and bliss.
My soul is filled with the ecstasy and bliss.
Of my communion with thee.
Of my communion with thee.
I and my Father are one.
I and my Father are one.
Blessed Spirit, I am he.
Blessed Spirit, I am he.
O Heavenly Father.
O Heavenly Father.
Open my eyes that I may see thy face.
Open my eyes that I may see thy face.
Open my ears that I may hear thy footsteps everywhere.
Open my ears that I may hear thy footsteps everywhere.
Open my heart that I may feel the glory of thy love.
Open my heart that I may feel the glory of thy love.
O Heavenly Father.
O Heavenly Father.
May thy love shine forever.
May thy love shine forever.
Upon the sanctuary of my devotion.
Upon the sanctuary of my devotion.
May I be able to awaken thy love in all hearts.
May I be able to awaken thy love in all hearts.
And bring them to thee.
And bring them to thee.
Yes.